Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 339, no, 49 of the Mike White's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey. And this has obviously gone weird because he isn't responding anymore. That's interesting to happen right at the start. I reckon that Casey probably needs to refresh this, but I'm guessing he can't help. I'm guessing that Casey may need to refresh or something else is broken. Yeah. Cool. I mean, we will leave this in because, you know, we don't do editing and stuff like that. But I will just go like that so you can't see the corner of that screen, even though there's nothing of importance on it. It is just there. Just let's do that for a second. Even though it's just a screensaver, that is a work computer. So I need to keep it out of the way. The fact that he hasn't returned immediately probably means there's something broken on his end. So what will probably happen is I'll end this and then restart it again in a minute. Oh, wait. I'll click cancel because he may have just got back in time. Let's have another attempt.
It's going so well so far.
Yeah, it's all going great. Ah, well. So, KC, is everything now working?
Yes, maybe. Cool.
And technology aside, everything good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Cool, nice one. We'll get straight into the game. Villa won, Leeds won. I mean, the first thing to say is, if you'd have offered them that before kickoff, I'd have snapped your hand off.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of being like a number of other games this season where. Yeah, you'd have taken the point beforehand, but to get that deep into the game again and concede another late goal is, I don't know if it could go so far as alarming, but it's frustrating how often it's happening.
Yeah, we'll get straight into that bit, even though it's a bit of a negative way around. We'll finish on the thunder on the thunderiest of thunder bastards. I reckon that I could. It's you. Can't not call it a pattern at this point. You know, I'm not like this isn't a proper slagging FARC sort of thing, or all like that. But we've conceded we've dropped now 17 points from winning positions, and that's having gone in front in 14 games. So we've won 7 of the 14 where we've taken the lead, and that's not too bad. It's away. We've dropped 10 of them away. We've only led in 5 away games and we've only won one of those.
Yeah.
Wolves is the only one. And that is probably, when you consider how many of them are also late goals, it is definitely a bit of a pattern at this point. Like, it's a good result, but there is a stat now, basically, with... his Premier League time at Norwich, his time managing in the Bundesliga at Gladbach, and his time in the Premier League at Leeds, Daniel Farke has won 4 out of 56 away games. Now, he's doing a good job at the minute. Overall, the season's going well. We're still 6 points clear of relegation. But that is, even when if you've been managing mostly shit teams, that's a very bad record.
Yeah, it's not great, especially when you take into account that certainly just speaking about Leeds this season, it's that includes losing to Forest and Burnley.
Burnley was 2-0, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't mean
in terms of coming from behind. I just mean in terms of. Those are two poor games to not get
I was checking,
from.
I was basically checking they weren't both won, because Forest, we did take the lead.
And lost it. To be fair, we lost that lead within about 3 minutes.
Yeah, that was not a late goal. That was a very early goal.
Yeah. It's not a great record. It's odd to say that considering that, yeah, we've got a point away at Chelsea. We've got a point away at Villa. We basically beat Man City.
Yeah, we morally beat.
I mean, morally, I think most teams beat Man City, but that's I think it was only Newcastle really pushing them in that sweepstake. But it's a thing of since we turned things around, and Liverpool as well.
Yeah,
like
why I can't be really annoyed. The majority of these, I'm like, no, it's a good point.
Yeah, it's just the fact that, like you say, this Villa game, Newcastle, when you've gone in front three times and you've come away with nothing, it is a pattern now. Yeah. And I think the issue is for me when you watch it is that one, the elephant in the room is always going to be make us up earlier.
Yeah, I do have a slight note earlier on that just says subs question mark.
Yeah, I mean, you made the earliest of subs.
Yeah, which we'll mention now. Goodmanson went off at half time to be replaced by Beal, with Justin going to left wing back. Goodmanson did not have a very good first half, but it came out afterwards that he was ill.
I'm glad, because I remember watching I think you can pretty much encompass his performance in that pass back to Strauch that missed by about 8 yards and went for a corner. When you just look at him going, like, Jesus, Gabby, that's impressive. Saying that he's ill does again highlight the importance of we probably should sign a left back in the next transfer window.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to, I mean. I can say off the top now, I saw glimpses of the first half and then probably about the last half hour of the game.
Yeah, your holiday abroad didn't have great signal.
No. No, it didn't.
Whereas my holiday abroad was fine. The first half, as much as it was frustrating, and I will come on to, I didn't think the subs were great again. The first half I thought we were excellent. Like, they only really tested us in like the last 5 minutes of the half. And that 5 minutes was quite heavily down to some suddenly incredibly home-based refereeing where they just got every decision for like 7 minutes. And that led to some pressure. And right at the end of the half, Carl Darlow makes an unbelievably good save. Onana kind of messes up. He should do better with the first chance, but Darlow does well to get down. But it's the reaction to slap it away on the floor. That's the bit that's brilliant goalkeeping. But for the first half, we were definitely the better side. We had the better chances. The best one probably for Calvert-Lewin. Jaden Boga plays a lovely little clip ball into the middle. And it's not even a bad touch from Calvert-Lewin. He gets out in front of him to run onto it. It's just a touch heavy. So when he goes to lift it over Martinez, he can't quite do it. If he gets a quarter of a yard less on that, he gets it over Martinez. And it goes in. But who needs a little clip over the keeper from 9 yards when Anton Stach exists?
just before you go into this, so the context I have for the goal is, one, so your message, just saying, what a goal that is. And then, because I can't access the game at this point, so I quickly go on LiveScore to see if they've put a video up. And they've used, I think, a tweet from the BBC of just Anton Stach stood over the free kick.
Mm.
So straight away I go, well, it's certainly like, as you put this in the box and someone scored like a lovely overhead kick or something. Looking at the position there, at no point am I thinking, oh yeah, he's just gonna go near side top corner.
Yeah. Now look, if Leeds conceded this goal, I would maybe say keeper's a yard too far across. Probably is. But that shouldn't matter. He's so far out. There is absolutely no way. But it's not like because like Gruev's against Norwich in the playoff semi-final. The keeper's so far across that Gruev doesn't actually hit it that amazing. He just places it well. It bounces in. Yeah. It isn't like this that rockets into the hit top corner. It's a ridiculous strike. You know, one of them where you... My favourite reaction of it was Bogle just running over with his hands on his head. It was a similar reaction to when Bamford scored that one at Peterborough.
Hmm.
The players around him couldn't believe what he'd just done. And that is always the sign of an unbelievable goal when a team full of elite footballers can't believe what someone just did on a football pitch.
Yeah. I mean, as it goes today, I was listening to the Athletic FC podcast, and one of the things they were the episode was on sort of playing against a low block. And part of it, and part of that discussion was the increase in shots from distance. Obviously, the comparison point for us with Stack is the wall free kick, which is closer in, but gives you an insight as to how he's going to hit those free kicks.
Yeah.
And that he does go for a lot of power with them. And he generates so much power on this. And again, that was part of the discussion, was that these new Puma match balls that are being used are lighter, and the amount of power you can generate on them now is incredible. But like you say, that just... There's part of me would say you have absolutely no right to have a shot from there.
I mean, you definitely have no right to score from there. It's a ridiculous goal. And I think, I mean, that's his third direct free kick scored this season.
Hmm.
I don't know. One, you don't. That's a lot. That doesn't happen very often. But I read something on Twitter that I have not in any way fact-checked, but I'm just choosing to believe is true.
January 6th.
Like, yeah. Now, don't go on Twitter. Don't go on Twitter today because of Tourette's. And if you don't know, lucky you. The step I saw was that he's only actually had 5 shots from free kicks this season.
No, because he shoots every other time he's in possession. Yeah.
But if you've scored 60% of your free kicks in February,
yeah,
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah,
poor man. that's how insane this is.
Like you say, in this sort of era, certainly in the Premier League now, especially now that James Ward-Prowse doesn't really play anymore, you don't really get free kick specialist goal scorers anymore. Like it's not as, I don't think it's as big a thing as opposed to the sort of the Ian Hart, David Beckham era of, well, that's just what they do.
Yeah, I also think people shoot from them. This is completely anecdotal. I have no idea. I feel like people shoot from them less now. I think if it's a, you know, like the one Stack scored, that's a crossing position.
Hmm.
Whereas I think 20 years ago, the people that took all the free kicks had shots from all over the shop. You had a lot more of the shots from the side of the box and really try to whip one in. Whereas now, teams seem to be that good at attacking set pieces that they're like, no, it's a much better chance if you cross it.
Well, I mean, like, just as you look at that position, it is really well suited to a left footer curling it in for someone to run onto.
Yeah, or a right footer trying to bounce it into the far post.
Yeah.
Not smash it in the near top.
Yeah. But if you can do that, yeah, you might as well do it, I suppose.
The problem is he's done too well and raised all our expectations now. So if he goes a couple of months without scoring a free kick, we're all going to think he's gone to shit at him.
Yeah.
So yeah, but half-time 1-0 up, absolutely deserved to be. In the second half, Villa were the better side. Leeds, it felt like we set off a bit, but I don't know how much of that was just them improving. And I think a decent amount of it were. But you've mentioned the subs. Obviously, Beall for Goodman said at half-time. I was surprised that it was Justin over Beall. You weren't. You called it on the preview pod that Justin would start and it'd be Beall that dropped out. But we've had probably at least 35 minutes of that half being considerably second best. Metcher for Aronson, 73rd minute, and Longstaff for Stark, 83rd. That's it for the subs. And when Metcher came on, I mean, he nearly scored with his very first touch. Again, Bogle with a great ball in. I'd put it more down to good goalkeeping than a bad finish, though, to be fair to Metcher. I was watching that game and screaming, "We're struggling to get out." I'll be honest, the person I was screaming for was Dan James, to give us something to counter with a load of pace, and it didn't happen. But I think that there's several that you could have brought on. But we sort of lot started losing it in midfield. We couldn't get away. We couldn't get out. And again, he sat there for half an hour and not done anything about it. It's definitely a frustration. As much as it's a good result and overall it's a well-coached performance, they looked well-drilled in the way that they were set up. I just think that while before the game you're not saying this is one you can win, when you're at 70 minutes and you're watching this game, all of a sudden you're in, right, we're now in a position where we probably should win the game. And that's the bit where we seem to not be able to put our foot on someone's throat. I have made such a good point that KC has been stunned into silence because the technology today is outstandingly good. I'll sort of double down on that bit. The Ampadu Gruev midfield defended really quite well all the way through the game. And they kept possession well, but I felt like they weren't as good at keeping the possession in the second half. And we definitely weren't as good at playing as way through in the second half either. And I can sort of understand if it's not Tanaka, given recent form. So I don't mind him doing that, but I was very surprised. But like, when Aronson went off, as well as Metcher did, but the fact that we've then gone to the two big lads, but not really gone to the two big lads. Metcher was still dropping quite deep. And I thought that James was the sub, and it might not have made any difference. After all, we conceded from a set piece in the end. But yeah, I'm still not mad keen on the in-game subs.
No, it's somewhat this usage of Metcher coming off the bench when he has left Calvert-Lewin on, because again, like we've seen it before, where he's gone to Metcher playing off the left. And like you say, it just makes all the sense in the world. If you're under pressure, you know, get two up top, and I think it could be any one of Tanaka, Nonto, James, just one of those in and around them, and you've got your two centre forwards who you can play out towards that have the ability to hold it up, and someone else who can bring in a bit of pace. To sort of join them, and you've still got essentially seven that you can leave back and just say, look, you guys sit, we'll let these three try and counter attack. You know, I think you could have gone with Metcher as the center forward and Nonto and James out wide and had a three that way.
Yeah, the other thing it did surprise when Calvert-Lewin didn't go off, because he did look quite knackered at the end.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch him, I think in my head, I always feel like he's going to get subbed around 75, 80 minutes most weeks. So, yeah, like you say, it was a little bit surprising that he stayed on. Probably tells you that we need someone of that profile. Like, not even someone who would, obviously not an out-and-out, you know, 40 million on a centre forward to play that role, but someone who has some of those physical attributes that can do that for the last 10, 15 minutes of a game. You know, Joe Peru's there, but it's just not the situation for him at all.
No, not at all. So, yeah, then later on, unfortunately, corner comes in. I think Roden gets a little bit outjumped, but I don't think he did it particularly wrong. He looked off balance and just did it. And I've seen a lot of people saying it's a lucky finish, and there is some luck to it, but I think it's good from Abraham to just sort of throw a fire at it. And obviously he hasn't meant to loop it perfectly over Calvert-Lewin, but he's aimed for the corner and got some on it. It's a proper centre forward's goal.
Yeah, I think the look on Calvert-Lewin's face when trying to reach that ball is going to stick with me for a little while. Just a man who just wishes he was Michael Jordan at the end of Space Jam if he could have just like extended his neck upwards a couple of inches. It's like I say, it's really frustrating, but it's sort of when you talk about Tammy Abraham as well, like it's sort of the levels that we're dealing with here, that we're playing third in the table, who can bring him off the bench.
Yeah, mind you, though, I mean, by Premier League money, he was a fairly cheap striker. What was he, like 18 million?
Hmm.
By Premier League standards, that's not even expensive. Ali's message did just say, Calvert-Lewin and Metcher should have started to battle with their centre-backs. Calvert-Lewin would be tiring after working alone against him by the time Metcher came on. And he was tiring. We'll come on to it. The plan is to do a second pod later in the week talking about the Man City game, but I absolutely would start both of them against Man City. We're barely going to have the ball. If we want to get up the pitch, do what we did for the second half against them and play the two and really just go along.
Okay, I get at this point why he likes having Brendan Aaronson there.
Yeah.
But what I think I'm struggling to get my head around is at this point is that, yes, in theory, he's meant to be there as the second striker, but he just so often in the second half of games ends up as the left winger.
Yeah.
And we just...
And the second half of this, we were very like a stack dropped in deeper as well, and he was basically right midfield.
Yeah, and we just end up as this, you know, the 5-4-1. But with no real... But again, you just end up back where we were towards the start of the season, where there's just nothing around Calvert-Lewin for him to bring someone into the game.
Yeah.
Which is like you say, that's why, yeah, bring Metcher on. Give, you know, you've got two players there who can hold the ball up well. One wins the knockdowns. And just get yourself 20 yards, 30 yards up the pitch.
But despite the slightly negative feeling about conceding another late goal, I'm not going to say throwing 2 points away. Losing a lead, I think, is fairer. Because I do think balance of play 1-1 was about right. The main thing is that we are still 6 points ahead of West Ham because they only drew at home to Bournemouth. I didn't watch that game for my own sanity. I watched Cass lose at rugby, which didn't help, but rugby impacts my emotions less. Because it sounded like they should have won that. Forest lost in the 97th minute to Liverpool. And Spurs got beat 4-1 by Arsenal. So we're 6 ahead of West Ham, 4 ahead of Forest, 2 above Spurs. We had a message in saying, we're staying up or down, think West Ham will get out of it. Don't think Forest will get relegated or Spurs, but who knows? I mean, right now, I would still say... I mean, the pessimism in me is always like, but if we've got to the stage now where we're, 31 points from 27 games? Like, with Wolves and Burnley still to play at home, Sunderland at home, we are in a position now where, because this isn't how jinxes work, we are in a position now where we absolutely should be fine. Should is the key. We should be. But all can happen, yeah. Right now, I'd still say, if I'm watching the teams right now, I'd be saying Spurs. But I think we've got too many good players and they're bound to click for a few games at some point. West Ham fans think it's them and they're... Right now, that's who it probably should be.
Yeah, I... Like you say, it's very hard not to... I think at this point, to see us not getting 2 wins and a draw from your last 11 games.
I absolutely don't think 38 is enough this season. I think this is one of them weird seasons. I think you're going to need like 41, 42.
I don't know.
Although the one thing to factor in, West Ham have statistically the hardest running of any team from now, of any team in the league, not just at the bottom. And Leeds, statistically, I believe, have the easiest running of any team. Basically, once the Man City game's out of the way.
Hmm.
And that should make me feel more confident. But the natural pessimist in me is going, oh, so it's really going to be our fault when we fuck it up. Right now, I find it hard to see us not winning a minimum of two home games and probably three. And if you do that, I mean, just three home wins between now and the end of the season, that's 40.
Yeah.
We'd have to really make a bollocks of it. The thing is, we could, because anyone can.
Yeah, it's, I mean, for me, we, you know, you look at in 11 games, you're asking West Ham, if you're going off the basis of, let's say, 40, West Ham have got to pick up 15 points in there.
Yeah.
And like you say, they still have to play Man City. They still have to play Arsenal. God help down to the last game of the season.
It can't go down to that last game. It just can't. It just can't. It'll be too stressful.
But yeah, like they've got, what is it, away at Newcastle, home to Arsenal, home to Man City, away at Villa, just kind of picking out a couple of games. They're away at Brentford. It's getting to the point now where drawing games in their positions is not really helping them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, drawing at home to Bournemouth definitely didn't help. That was a game that, I mean, you know, Bournemouth are a decent side for an eighth, but that's one of the ones Villa looked at as one of their more winnable games. And it did sound like they should have won it from everything that I saw afterwards.
I mean, I ended up watching the last half hour of it, and I will say.
I know XG isn't everything, but West Ham 2.87, Bournemouth 0.65.
Yeah. Certainly the last half hour of the game was just god awful. It was a dreadful game. Good result for us. Probably a bad result for Bournemouth, given that they've been on, since selling Semenyo, they've actually been on quite a good run.
This is probably, until we play them, the only time this will come up. Have you seen that Ryan? Their new lad on the wing, the Brazilian kid. He looks good. He looks like a cracking player, that lad.
Yeah. So I think at this point, there is going to be a little celebration in my head now just every time I see West Ham drop points, generally.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that it's going to be horrible this certainly the next few weeks now, because I'm, you know, optimistically, we can get something from Man City, but it's still unlikely.
Yeah, I know. Leeds' home record is amazing.
You've got a better chance than you have in. It'll probably be dark by the time we kick off against Man City.
They want the lights on either way, but it's R5, isn't it? So it should be.
Yeah, get them on. But yeah, it's just we're at that agonising point now where, yes, you've got bodies in between us and West Ham at the moment as well, which is a nice little bonus. But as you said, with Spurs, it's really hard not to see it just clicking in five games for them to pull away and you know, win those because they have got a squad that should win at least half their matches at this point.
And they can't just all keep being injured forever. Like, they must be going to get some of them back.
Forest will be the interesting one to see how they are now, if they end up getting another manager between now and the end of the season.
I mean, to be fair to Vita Pereira, I mean, obviously winning 3-0 at Fenerbahce, and I did watch that game, they were pretty good. And losing 1-0 in the 97th minute to Liverpool, they played fairly well, by all accounts. I was going to watch Forest and Liverpool when I finished work, because I finished at 2 yesterday. But I had also had about 45 minutes of sleep the night before, so I had to go have a lay down. And I put it on and went, I'm going to lay down and watch the game. And I think I fell asleep 3 minutes in, and I woke up after full time. So so I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, the hope is, I mean, you'd think they probably would, given that with that 3-0 win away from home. My hope is that Palace and Forest and Spurs continue their march through Europe and knacker themselves out by the weekend.
Absolutely.
Every time.
I hope that, I mean, that, to be, I think Palace are high enough up that they will probably be fine. I mean, they've still got 4 points on us. Palace are allowed to win the Conference League if they want. I wouldn't mind Forest getting beat in the final of the Europa League.
Yeah.
I don't want to win it. I don't want to win anything. Get to at least the semis, though, and then don't win it. That's probably what we could do with.
Yeah. It's those sorts of things. You know, West Ham are still in the cup, and I know we are as well, but the gentlemanly thing clearly for us to do is put the 21s. Yeah. I'll tell you what, get the tackle I saw from the 21s from the weekend. Is it Pickles who put in the tackle on, I'm trying to remember which Chelsea player it is now, but one of their first team players in the 21s. It was a very Sunday league tackle. We got a yellow card. But I looked at him and went, good luck. Well,
it's
done.
Probably obviously, I didn't get to see all of that either. But by all accounts, Jadon Leonou was excellent in the game against Chelsea for the 21s. Hmm. So that's always good to see. Anyone playing left back that does well in a Leeds shirt, I don't care if it's the under 15s, I'm going to be like, ooh, a left back.
Yeah, I'm just heard. Apparently the Leeds website is undergoing maintenance, so I can't look at that report there. I'll have to go on the Chelsea website, apparently. Purely because I'm trying to remember who it was that was in their team, because it was one of those things where you're just looking going, oh, they've actually used some first team players in this.
I mean,
who was it on Romeo Lavia. Right.
I was going to say...
absolute crunching tackle.
My joke answer was going to be Lucas Pearson. Because he may as well still be there.
He's unreal.
Just to go back, talk a last little bit about the Villa game before we go. Obviously, Stack is going to get the plaudits because of that goal. That's going to be the thing you remember from the game. But I thought Jadon Bogle was excellent. I thought he was brilliant all game. And he was definitely my standout, my like man at match.
I think that kind of this period of games where I think certainly when you looked at the Chelsea game and how we were going to use him, I thought he had a very good game there. Said a good game against another good team. I think at this point, given how it went for him with Sheffield United, I do feel comfortable enough in saying that, yeah, I think he is a Premier League right back at this point.
He's absolutely, and he's if he was to go anywhere from here, it's upwards.
Hmm.
Like he
not sideways, upwards, and forever twirling towards freedom. he's looked so comfortable in this, and I think having the three at the back has really freed him up and really plays to his strengths as well.
We didn't get to see it as much in this game, but that is the big upside when Justin plays as the right centre-back. They seem to really like playing next to each other.
Yeah. Like I say, I know we've not seen it a massive amount, but the way they linked up in the Forest game as well. But it's nice that like we've gone through... I mean, what are we now? Are we 3 months removed from Farker out?
I think it was November, wasn't it? Because it was that Brighton away, Forest away, back to back, because there were two like really awful performances.
Yeah, and we've now got to the point where you're just looking good. No, we are getting good results against good Premier League teams. There is certainly, starting from that Man City game, is there a team? Not, I'm not talking in terms of the performance, purely in terms of their squad and where they are in the league. Is there a team that we've lost to that we shouldn't have done? Like, I don't think there is.
Well, I mean, we've only lost two games since then. We've got beat by
brilliant.
Arsenal, and we've got beat by Newcastle. And although we shouldn't have lost the Newcastle game, player for player going into the game, we should lose that game. So, the only frustration is there's a couple of them that we should have won. And you add 4 points onto us, and it's really comfortable. But we'll talk about it a lot more on Thursday, probably Thursday when we preview the Man City game. But a lot of that atmosphere, and because we are going to be backs to the wall, we're gonna barely have any of the ball. A lot of how the crowd deals with that will depend on how Anfield has gone, because it's Liverpool v West Ham. If Liverpool beat them like 4-0, I think the atmosphere will just be fine, regardless of what happens.
Yeah.
And we'll see if it. Otherwise, people might get a bit nervy. But we'll talk about that more on team selection and stuff like that when we next back. So, all to add, KC?
No, I think we're good.
Nice one. Oh, done in plenty of time for the school run as well. So, yeah, I've been Jack. See ya.
I've been KC. Have a good one.